The Buddha, a very wise teacher, worth listening to, is guiding us to reflect on one who is practicing both for their own welfare and for the welfare of others, is the foremost, the best, the preeminent, the supreme, and the finest of persons. Just as from a cow comes milk, from milk curd, from curd butter, from butter ghee, and from ghee comes cream of ghee, which is reckoned the foremost of all of these, so the person practicing both for their own welfare and for the welfare of others is the foremost, the best, the preeminent, the supreme, and the finest of persons. So I find that a very useful passage to reflect on, because to practice for our own welfare and for the welfare of others, the Buddha clearly says that before we practice for the welfare of others, we have to have practiced for the welfare of ourselves. So that may sound very surprising to a lot of people, but somebody who practices first for others and puts themselves last is actually not so useful in the world. And one who practices first for themselves and gets things straight for themselves and then practices for others is of more use to the world. And of course, somebody who is serving themselves and the world and others is of a lot of use to themselves and to the world. So we're here to practice and find out what are the benefits. Each time we practice, we maybe to a greater or lesser extent have to persuade ourselves to practice. How many people have to battle with themselves to practice, or battle with their schedule, or with the mind that would much rather be distracted by something else, because it's quite hard to slow down and really be present here. So we look at each other and maybe it comes to us, what do we have in common? One of the things I see that we have in common is that we care. We care about the world. We care about beings and we want to end suffering, or at least lessen suffering for beings, including ourselves. So a lot of us want to get into the advanced stage where we're setting things right in the world and looking after the world. And the humbling fact is that it's very hard to set things right in the world. That's probably come up for all of us. It's very hard to put this world into a straight position because it's going to go off course and we can't control it. And we have to cope with that. And everyone has to cope with that. But we have to help each other to cope with that. And we have to do that in a loving way. So I see that as an important reason why we're here practicing together, because we all see the benefit in gathering and sheltering in each other's strength and being in the safety of each other's presence. So when we're launching out on this path, starting on this path, when we're continuing on this path, even when we've found a foothold, we're continually faced with the task of how to look after ourselves so that we can care for others. And we probably see in our daily lives that the more balanced, nourished in a heart way, relaxed, present we can be, the more it benefits others. with our families, with our friends, with our colleagues, if we can come from a place of gentle stability, not being a pushover, but not being aggressive, balanced in each moment in a way that's clearly not harmful to other people, not dangerous for other people, not dangerous for ourselves, then that creates a wave that will reach other people. In some way, it will reach other people. And we probably all have some experience of this in ourselves, of coming from a good place and seeing how that is for others, of having other people in our lives who manage to create an island of safety. And you come to them and you see them and you look into their eyes and you hear their voice and you feel something in here. You feel something in here which is indescribable. So that's what we can give to each other. And I know from myself, from trying to be a doer, somebody who does good in the world, that it hasn't always gone well. If I haven't been able to come from a good place myself, maybe some of us are working in caring professions, caring for our families, caring for our friends, and we see the benefit of our practice in that. So when we practice, the Buddha really guides us to investigate life deeply and see certain things about how we experience life. One of the very beneficial things to investigate is the impermanent nature of everything that arises. Sometimes the world and our lives are so overwhelming, topsy-turvy, almost knocking us off our feet, perhaps keeping us awake at night with worry. Old memories coming up, which can be deeply disturbing, fear overpowering us at things we can't do, at things we can't control. These things can come up in our life which are very difficult. And to actually balance ourselves enough to be able to investigate, we have to be able to brighten our minds. We have to be able to allow ourselves a space of ease so that we can breathe clearly, the clear air, so that we can rest in something that's safe and secure and not going to get knocked about by the world. So before we can breathe easily enough to investigate, before we can feel safe enough to investigate, we may have to do some very deep caring of ourselves, not necessarily in a physical way, although that's really important to look after the body, to care for the body, to put time aside for that. But at a deeper level, to practice things that are going to create a brightness that will support our practice and allow us to strengthen so that we can look at things which are deeper and worth looking at. So, just want to go through a few ideas and reminders for a lot of you of things which are beneficial to bring up when the going gets tough, bring up when the going's easy, at all times to make sure that we're heading in the right direction. And really to make sure that we're all developing our toolkits here of supportive measures so that we don't hit the things which are less supportive. And we all probably know what they are. We all know the things which can get us into a downward spiral. It's very easy to identify those and less easy to directly tackle them. We don't really want to tackle them. We want to strengthen the leaning towards peace, gentleness, light, and kindness and put down the internal daggers that go out towards the world and towards ourselves often. So one of the very beneficial practices is to practice gratitude. Gratitude on all levels, gratitude for the air that we breathe, gratitude for this opportunity to be a human being and reflect on what it is to live, what is life, who am I. If it's straightforward for us, it's very good to practice gratitude to our parents for what they've given us, this physical opportunity. If we've had difficult relationships with our parents, and that can lead into thinking about that, then it can be beneficial to just stick with the very physical aspects of that. So through my parents or my ancestors or however it's beneficial for you to think about it, there is this earth element, these bones, these muscles, this body that's present here now, in the hardness of it, in the feeling of the feet on the ground or the body on the cushion. It's a gift. And then the other elements, the water element, the blood in our arteries and veins, the other watery things in the body that make us who we are, the air element, the air that we so gratefully receive into our lungs that we can take for granted, the heat element, the warmth in our bodies, the energy in our bodies that allows us to move around, digest our food, be here now. It allows our brain to function and our senses to work so that we can hear the sounds, see the sights, and learn from them. And then on a daily basis, it can also be very helpful to practice gratitude each time we sit down to eat, practice gratitude for our friends. You can actually be grateful for almost anything. The practice is to become grateful for the opportunity to learn from the pleasant and from the unpleasant, which is a very interesting work because it's not natural to us or most of us to be grateful for the unpleasant, grateful for the pain, grateful for the mental pain. The Buddha taught us that these things are teachers and they're opportunities. So, through strengthening the mind, we become more able to take advantage of these opportunities. Moving on into kindness. Kindness as a practice, being kind to those around us. Kindness is a wonderful thing to remind ourselves to practice each day. Kindness to ourselves. Awareness of the fact that we're not always aware of our thoughts. It's very hard to be aware of all our thoughts through the day, and our thoughts will determine how we speak and how we act. So if we're aware of that, then it makes it easier for us to be humble and less involved in the ego and more vigilant. And it is hard to be vigilant when life is going very fast, but we set this intention. And even at the end of the day, because it's good to reflect at the end of the day on what went well, at the end of the day or whenever it comes up, we're reflecting on what worked today, what felt like it was skillful. If we can just remember a kind thing, a kind word that we did or said for somebody else, a time when we didn't say something that was unkind, then that weakens the muscle of unkindness. It slowly and gradually will erode the reflex the unkindness that can occur when we're frightened, angry, feeling threatened, jealous. These things can come up. I'm sure we've all experienced that. I want to also just mention body awareness. Probably a lot of us practice awareness of the body. It's very grounding to practice awareness of the body. If we are practicing awareness of feelings or emotions, we can be more likely to get swept up in thinking. So coming back to awareness of the body through the day is hugely beneficial. Again, even just in small ways sometimes. So even if we were only really present once when we were washing our hands today, we note that, we value that, we don't forget that. And the body is actually a very valuable tool in our practice. Apart from taking us through the human lives, the study of the body can really help us to detox. So if we sit quietly, sometimes we'll notice tension in the body, and sometimes we can teach the body to relax, but sometimes we just have to be with the tension and learn from it. It's just tension in the body. And it becomes or can seem to become threatening, frightening, dangerous, because it can be very much associated with ingrained habits and thought patterns that we can express through tension, maybe in the back or the shoulders or the jaw. These chronic things that can tighten up as we get older. And I've myself found it very beneficial to learn from these tensions and to not try and push them away necessarily, but to not force myself to relax either, but to stop being afraid of them so much, because they are part of a persona that we can just get trapped in. And when we get trapped in it, it's very, very painful. So to bring up compassion, very much a tool to bring up compassion, to see how much suffering is carried in the body and to be patient with that and to learn and value and see the depth of how much we can care for ourselves through this practice, through persistent kindness, observation, and stopping the habitual desire to make me right, to make this person what I think it should be. Sometimes it's helpful to practice these things in a more formal way, so to sit down for some metta practice. But whatever we're doing, through this self-care, we're gradually allowing ourselves to get squeezed out of being the center. We've all been brought up to be babies who look at things happening around them and learn to see themselves as the center. But if we really understood how much we weren't at the center of life, of understanding, of being, if we can really not put ourselves first, we are not the most important person in the world, then the heart will relax. To put ourselves first is to really fear to die. If we really fear to die, then that's what we're saying to ourselves: I really matter in a physical way. This physical body really matters. And then we're signing up for a lot of suffering. When we have some fuel in our tank, when we have some ballast, we can start examining our own being in this world and how we function, how we think, how we react. These things aren't always easy to see. It can be quite like looking at the moon. We look at the moon and it's bright and it's beautiful. Our heart is so happy to look at the moon, particularly when it's full. It can be so energizing. But we only see the near side of the moon. We don't see the far side of the moon. So it can be like that when we examine ourselves. There can be a lot of things going on that we don't necessarily see and we can't see. And if we put pressure on ourselves to see everything, we'll make ourselves unhappy and paranoid. We just accept that we can't see everything right now. And we gradually build the side of us which is supportive and strong and that can shine brightly, even when things are difficult, even when there's pain in the body and the news is frightening us, and we've had a problematic time in a relationship, or something really upsetting has happened at work, that there is some residual glow there that's going to warm us and not let us fall into a pit of negative thinking. So we need strategies and some good practice to be able to see clearly what's happening so that we can just observe this is Mara, this is negative thinking at this time. A wholesome, skillful, appropriate thing would be to do some chanting or go for a walk where the body can relax. And when we feel more and more settled with supporting ourselves in this practice, when we're more able to relax in the practice, then we can really start being more open to the thought processes and the emotions coming up and less threatened by them so that we can let them unfurl, just like a leaf unfurling in the spring. And watch them unfurl, but not give in to them. That so this non-identifying stature of observing them, but not being them. To be able to do this takes some balance. We start off in little ways and then we get more confident. Then we get interested. Then we get very, very interested in who is this? What is this life? We start really wanting to ask questions and to see what happens when we ask questions. And we start seeing the power of the mind heart, the power of whatever it is that isn't the questions, isn't the words, isn't the body, isn't the practice. That something much brighter than our little practice may be able to shine through. If we can look at ourselves a little bit and just have a gentle smile. Even when things are bad. So allow that gentle smile of the mother who loves their child, wants their child to be happy, sees their child crying, deeply cares, and knows that the child is okay. The child is fine. The child will come out the other side of this. And the mother will just hold the baby.